Wonderful. Well, thanks for joining us today, and thank you for your interest in Visual Studio. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about Visual Studio, MSDN subscriptions, and particularly the leveraging of the cloud and the Azure platform for development and testing purposes. Visual Studio and MSDN come with a number of benefits for software developers to allow them to try new workloads, do development with platforms, as well as to do testing of their solutions without having to worry about infrastructure costs, really speed up your development times. Now, to recap a little bit about Windows Azure, if you're not familiar with it, Windows Azure is Microsoft's cloud platform. It involves a number of components, and it's based out of a number of global data centers that Microsoft has invested and built in and scaled over the years to handle our online properties, and now that same environment is made available to customers to use to build the next breed of applications. We have global data centers, global content distribution networks, and global support to help customers make use of the Azure platform. Over a billion customers and 20 million businesses in 76 markets worldwide. And we have about 280 years of combined industry experience on infrastructure, security, product development, and global operations supporting this. So this is a pretty robust platform for you to use. Now, as well, you also have a local Microsoft account folks that you can talk to about Azure Dev and Test and Azure in general that you can make use of. Now, I like to talk about Azure in sort of three different ways. There's a set of infrastructure services that are available to you that through Azure. These include virtual machines and virtual networks and VPN support, and even content distribution. There are data services that allow you to store data and serve it up, from SQL databases to table storage and blob storage and that sort of stuff. And then there's application services where you can actually build the next generation of applications completely out of building block components provided to you in the cloud. And these are things like services to support mobile applications across platform, website hosting, identity services, workflow services, even media distribution, media creation. All of these services can be stitched together in really interesting ways to build the next generation of applications and even have those applications running in the cloud operating system. Now, there are a few key technologies in Azure that are really important to understand for development and testing. The first is, of course, what we call infrastructure as a service. And this is hosting of virtual machines in the Microsoft Cloud operating environment. Now, these virtual machines are your standard VM type of things. If you've worked with virtual machines before on site or on your own machine, you're pretty familiar with the concept already. You can run both your own user-supplied virtual machines, things that you pre-create, or you can rapidly create them right from the management portal in Azure based on a template or a gallery of virtual machines that we've created in advance. And that gallery includes things like Windows Server virtual machines. It includes things like SharePoint virtual machines and BizTalk and SQL Server. But it also includes virtual machines for different operating systems as well. There are various Linux operating systems available for you to build and host cross-platform solutions. So you can rapidly provision and create these and be up and running in a matter of minutes with a completely hosted server environment. Another big component of the Azure environment is something called cloud services. Cloud services essentially wrap your individual type of workloads in a management layer that you can easily manage. This might be things like web applications or web services, or these could be worker roles or virtual machines. The cloud service itself is a management unit that provides centralized views of what's happening, allows you to secure access, provide administrative support, and allow you to start and stop the activities that are in the cloud. And last, another key technology is what we call Azure websites. This is a new capability that essentially provides rapid provisioning and hosting of IIS-based web applications sitting in Azure. You can quickly create an IIS application, download a publishing profile right into your Visual Studio IDE, and quickly deploy your web application up to Azure so it's up and running in minutes, and then you can scale that to any degree you want. Now, a big question we often get for Dev and Test users is, how do I get my data into the cloud? It's not something that is like on your internal network where you just copy files around. Well, Azure provides a number of storage technologies that are really important depending on the type of application you're building. The most important one for most developers and testers is what we call binary storage, often referred to as blob storage. This is where you can copy your file system files. If you have images or media content or configuration or HTML or documents, you can also copy your virtual machines up to blob storage. This, think of it as your file system that's going to be supported. If you have virtual machines that you want to run in Azure, your first step is to upload those virtual machines into blob storage under your account. You'll then go forward and create disks and such that make it look like and feel like a virtual machine. Another important piece of storage is relational storage. And oftentimes this can be in one of two flavors. From a platform perspective, we have what we call the Azure SQL Database, which provides tables and columns that you can rapidly use to store relational data, query it, and think about using this type of storage in an application, perhaps a mobile application, where you want to persist some data from session to session, you want to provide table lookups, that sort of thing. Additionally, another common workload, of course, is, and frankly, most applications don't do anything unless they have data attached to them, is actually running a relational database in a VM in the cloud. And Azure supports full SQL Server, it supports Oracle databases now, MySQL, other types of databases inside of virtual machines, and you can access that data the same way you would have accessed that data if it were on-premises. So these are the key storage technologies that you can leverage in an Azure environment to do dev and test. Another key concern of a lot of customers that we talk to is about the privacy of data and the ability to use Azure as a platform while still maintaining a private data storage repository. The ability to connect both your on-premise private data to your applications or hosted environments sitting in Azure is something that's a key component. And this is provided by Windows Azure Networking. You have the ability to rapidly create private networks that connect your Windows Azure environment under your account back into a set of secure resources, so you can actually keep your data on premises and have the applications and the machines that need to consume it securely access that in a very controlled way. And that is a key technology that allows you to really test out different type of workloads in a very simple way with lots of flexibility. So those key technologies are kind of building blocks. You can get into a lot more detail on each one, and I'll kind of show you some of those technologies a little later. But I wanted to highlight those as some of the capabilities in Azure that you'll work with. Certainly this scope of the Microsoft Cloud Platform is much greater than that, and there's tons of information on the web. Now, how do you get started with Azure Dev and Test as an MSDN subscriber? Well, most of our customers that buy Visual Studio buy it with MSDN subscriptions because of the vast array of benefits that they get with MSDN. And regardless of whether you are a Visual Studio professional, test professional, premium, or ultimate user of Visual Studio, you actually get, among your many other benefits, access to credits that allow you to use Windows Azure services at a discounted rate. To give you an idea today, we'll take a look at different scenarios, but to sum it all up, you at the MSD Visual Studio Professional or Test Professional level, every month you get $50 of credits to use towards different Azure services. At the Premium level, which is the level most of our corporate or enterprise customers use, you get $100 of credits a month, and of course for Visual Studio Ultimate users, that's $150. In addition to the credits you get to apply to use the different services in Azure you want for Dev and Test. You also have cloud use rights for some of the software that you get with your MSDN subscription. In MSDN, at the Visual Studio Professional level, that means Windows Server OSs and SQL Server that you can now leverage inside of virtual machines running up in Windows Azure. As you add to that, if you go up the stack to, for example, Visual Studio Premium and Ultimate, we add in the rest of the Microsoft platform, including things like SharePoint and BizTalk, where you now have the rights with Azure to build virtual machines that host complete SharePoint development environments or BizTalk development environments, all for dev and test purposes. To help ease the transition to start using this stuff, we actually made some changes to Azure recently to help reduce the friction of using it. The first and the biggest thing that we did was we removed the need for you to sign up with a credit card when you activated your Azure benefits on MSDN. We've instead changed that to the credit amounts, and we put a billing cap on that so that you won't have to provide a credit card for any overages you use. That was a big concern for a lot of our customers where individuals didn't want to provide credit card details but still wanted to leverage Azure. So that restriction's now removed, and I think that's a great thing for our customers. As well, when you're using virtual machines, instead of billing you hourly, we've made it much more finite billing, so it's actually billing per minute now. So no longer do you have to worry about going over in time. We actually also stopped charging when your VMs are no longer used. If you stop them from the Azure portal or through PowerShell, they get deallocated and we no longer charge you for compute time for those unallocated VMs. And there's been a lot of improvements in the management portal to let you see how you're using up your credits across all your different services, and to even give you an idea of how you're trending and whether or not you're going to run out of your credits during that time. So there's a few things we'll talk about around different workloads that make sense based on your Azure credits. But just to give you an idea, I mentioned that MSDN users have a discounted rate on their use of Windows Azure compared to retail rates. Well, for Windows Server, for example, the standard rate as of today is 9 cents an hour for using a Windows Server virtual machine. The equivalent MSDN user only pays 6 cents an hour. And that goes along with other virtual machines and standard configurations. If we look at a SQL Enterprise configuration with a virtual machine that scales to run that appropriately, a retail user would pay $2.19 an hour to use that. As an example, the MSDN price is still 6 cents an hour, so you get a 97% savings on that. So your benefits can take you a long way. Some example workloads of using the MSDN credits, and I'm going to use the Visual Studio Premium with MSDN. With your $100 monthly credit, that's enough for you to run 3 virtual machines for 16 hours a day for a month. That's a pretty substantial amount for you to be able to use. So your credits do go a long way. If you wanted to do a load test operation to test out how well your application will scale under user load, you can do an 80 virtual machine load test for 20 hours using these benefits. So you can actually spin up not just your site, but 80 virtual machines and run a 20-hour load test to see how that works using your credits. If you wanted to do some high-performance computing work and get some insights from that, you can actually run 50 HD Insight nodes for over 10 hours using your credits. And if you wanted to test with websites to test scalability, you can provision up to 100 websites with databases using those MSDN credits. So that's pretty significant stuff that you can do with Windows Azure. Now, the next little section, what I'll do is I'll take you through actually activating your benefits for MSDN using Azure, and I'll give you a quick tour of the user interface for Windows Azure. To do that, we're going to start off by opening up our browser and going to MSDN. And so we'll just browse to msdn.microsoft.com, and we'll want to make sure that we're signed into MSDN using our Live ID, the ID that's associated with our Visual Studio account. Once we're done that, we'll click on the top link that says MSDN subscriptions. And we'll get a page where we can actually read about our subscriptions and related programs. We want to actually access our benefits. Now, if you haven't registered your MSDN subscription, there's also a link there to register for it. If you don't know the information about registering your MSDN subscription, contact your volume licensing administrator, the person that buys software for you and your company, to ask them about that information. If you are that person and you don't know, you should contact your reseller. So once we click Access Benefits, it's going to take us to a page that will give you a rundown of all the benefits available to you under your MSDN subscription. My MSDN subscription here is at the ultimate level with MSDN, and you'll see a number of links, including software downloads, where I can go and download software for dev and test purposes. I will see the link to activate my Windows Azure benefits. We'll look at that in a second. This is also the place where you can go to get your Windows Store developer account, which is a free account as a benefit of MSDN, which will allow you to create the next generation of applications to run on Windows 8. Similarly, you can also access your free Windows Phone developer account, which allows you to build and submit applications for testing on Windows Phone. One last piece here, if you're interested in Office 365 development, building apps for SharePoint, for example, you can provision your developer subscription for Office 365, which is a great benefit. That'll create a SharePoint online account for you, an Exchange online account, Office 365 stuff, and you can actually start building with that right away. But to activate your Windows Azure benefits, you'll want to click on Activate Windows Azure and follow the instructions to activate your benefits. Once you've done that, you'll want to go to the Windows Azure portal to find out more information about those benefits. Now, what I'm going to do is take you right to the management portal, which is at manage.windowsazure.com. That will take you to the place now where you can actually create Windows Azure resources to use for your applications. In my portal here, it's actually quite a lot of things that you'll see running already. I've got some storage accounts across multiple subscriptions I'm seeing in one place. I've got a number of virtual machines running. I've got some websites and some mobile services and the whole bit, and I can work with and manage these all in one place. For example, I can go and see by clicking on the link to virtual machines that I have a number of virtual machines running already for this demo in a running state, and I can select one of those virtual machines and literally connect to it right from this portal, which will open up a remote desktop session and give me the opportunity to actually interact with that virtual machine just as if it was on my network. Additionally, this is where I can rapidly provision new resources. At the bottom, I can say new and follow through, and a wizard will take me through the steps to create compute-based services or data services, application networks, or even submit applications to the Azure Store. In this case, I'm going to demonstrate how easy it is to create a new Azure virtual machine from scratch. So I'm going to select Compute, Virtual Machine, and I'm going to select From Gallery. By doing that, it's bringing up a virtual machine image selection where I can look at platform images that Microsoft supplies in the gallery for me to create. I can look at images that I've created and uploaded to Windows Azure that I can use as templates for new machines. And this would be a perfect place, for example, to take your standard VM templates for your core applications. You simply sysprep them so that they can be provisioned and new accounts created, and you then upload them as images to Azure using a number of techniques. They then become templates to create new virtual machines. And if I don't want to go through the creation and I want to upload an existing Hyper-V format virtual machine, I can literally upload them to my disks and use them to create and run virtual machines. In my case, I'm going to go ahead and pick a virtual machine template that's already available to me from the list. And you can see here I've got Ubuntu server, I've got SUSE Linux, I've got BizTalk server, I've got a number of things available. Let's just go ahead and I'm going to create a Windows Server 2012 R2 Preview virtual machine right from scratch. It's going to ask me a few things like the name, so I'm just going to type in a sample name here, VM Demo 1. It's going to ask me what size of machine I want to create. I'm going to choose a medium 2-core VM with 3.5 gigs of memory, type in a username and password for that virtual machine. In Azure, you're not allowed to use the administrator account, so you need to give it a name that makes sense. And from there, I'm going to go on to picking where I want that VM to run, under which subscription, which data center or region I want to create it in. If I have pre-created some network groups so that I have predictability, I can put them there. I'm just going to pick the Eastern US data center, and I get to pick which, if I have storage accounts already created, if I have multiple storage locations, and whether I want to create an availability set, which is high availability for VMs. This is a dev test environment, and I don't want to use high availability, so I can minimize the amount of cost in running my VMs. If I go to the next page, it will give me information about the endpoints that it will use for connectivity. For remote desktop, it'll give me the protocols and the ports that are going to be used, so it'll open up those firewall ports for me. I get a chance to customize those, add additional endpoints. You can see here, there's a remote desktop and a PowerShell endpoint available for that. And I simply go ahead, click the checkbox, and Windows Azure now goes ahead and starts to provision this image for me. So it's actually taking that gallery image, creating an actual virtual machine or a VHD file you may be familiar with, provisioning it on a host for me and starting it up. This will take about 5 minutes, and once it's ready, I can simply reach out and connect to it as a brand new machine and start using it right away. Using the console, of course, I can do a lot of other stuff here. I can start and stop my virtual machine images. When I'm done using a virtual machine image, if I don't want to continue to be charged for it, I'll simply select it and actually hit the stop button in the management console to ensure that the machine is shut down gracefully and deprovisioned from the virtual machine hosts so that I don't incur any compute costs for that when it's not running. So that's a kind of a quick introduction to using Azure. There's lots of other places here. And of course, you can go and look at how you write code for that might target Azure specifically, how you create networks, how you create workflow applications, all of that. But I wanted to give you that very quick introduction using virtual machines because that, I think, is a primary place that people initially start working. If we go back to the slides now, we'll take a quick look at some of the other scenarios that people might decide to use for when they're using Azure. Certainly, dev and test is the number one workload in the cloud today across all cloud service providers. And Visual Studio excels at the dev test scenario. In particular, let's think about a load test scenario. Visual Studio Ultimate provides the ability to create a distributed test environment using test controllers and agents. It has a relational load test repository to store statistics and a workstation that can be used to actually generate the load or to control the load generation activities. Azure is just perfect for this type of environment of creating multiple machines to host both the controllers and the agents and even to host our system under test. To demonstrate that, I've actually got a virtual machine here up and running with Visual Studio already loaded in it. And in this virtual machine now, I'm going to actually start a load test operation against the backend cloud. And in this particular case, I'm running 5 agents hitting a known Azure website. And those 5 agents are actually executing the load on my behalf. All of this environment is sitting and running in my Azure cloud under my account. And as it starts up, the Visual Studio controller will communicate out to those virtual machine agents, generating the load. And in this particular case, I have a load test operation that's set to run for about an hour. generating a representative load of my application to make sure that my application scales well, that it doesn't have memory leaks. And right away, we're already starting to get information back from my application to show me how well it's testing. On top of that, let's take a look at another common environment that people might want to use Azure for, and that's for developing on SharePoint. SharePoint is a natural candidate for building or using Azure because it normally involves a developer having access to the Visual Studio tools in his workstation, but also having access to a SharePoint development server that is probably provisioned on a Windows Server box. A common scenario for our customers is actually working with SharePoint environments locally by having their developers actually running on a server operating system with Visual Studio and a full copy of the SharePoint server to do their testing with or to do their developing on. That type of capability now in Azure means that I can actually connect to that remotely, be able to host a multi-machine environment, hosting SharePoint, and actually use that environment to do either all my development or just to do my deployments to SharePoint directly. So in this environment, as you'll see here, I've already got up and running a copy of Internet Explorer connected to my SharePoint hosted environment. I've also got a domain controller hosted up in this multi-virtual machine environment, replicating the actual authentication of users that SharePoint will use. And now I've got a fully self-contained SharePoint development cloud, if you will, that I can add additional workstations or share between all of my developers. I didn't have to wait for anybody to provision a virtual machine on premise. I simply created it and I can start to actually write my application code. For example, here you can see the home page in SharePoint. I can build a brand new app. I can test out my applications for SharePoint just as I would with a local instance. It's really nothing magical other than the fact that it's running in the cloud. Other examples of that might include testing out new operating environments. One of the things you can rapidly do is use Azure as a place where you can try out things like new technologies. For example, I might want to use Azure to test against, to see what's new in Visual Studio 2013. The product group has made available a blank template so that you can actually rapidly provision a Visual Studio 2013 preview environment and start using it to actually try out the tools. You can then load up your applications in it and not have to worry about provisioning that machine on premise. So the gallery will contain a number of sample applications or sample images, for example, like new versions of SQL Server or BizTalk or SharePoint or Visual Studio as they become available. That gallery is a great place to try out new capabilities, to do research and development, all of that kind of stuff. So hopefully from that, you'll have seen that there's a number of core workloads that make Azure a great place for dev and test, that you start to experiment with capabilities that you have available as part of your MSDN benefits, whatever benefits they are. Now, larger software teams might look at this and say, after they've started to play with the management portal, that it's great for me as an individual user. I can do tons of great stuff for development and testing. But when you start to get into larger teams, you might decide that you want to pool your or access a larger subscription with more capacity. In that particular case, it often is beneficial, and organizations find it the need to actually purchase some Azure access in units or chunks for their development team. And that can often allow people to share access to resources much more effectively than they might otherwise have to manage their individual benefits for. So if you have questions about that, certainly reach out to your reseller, contact us here at Microsoft, and we can and talk about what your needs are and how Azure can satisfy those needs based on the number of hours you need or the type of workloads you need. So hopefully that gave you a really quick sneak peek at Azure and some of the things you can do with it. I encourage you highly to go and activate your benefits if you haven't already. There is a contest on right now. If you activate your MSDN benefits and do at least one thing in Azure before September 30th, your name will automatically go into a draw for an Aston Martin, I believe, isn't it? So we're giving away an Aston Martin to somebody that activates their benefits and uses it. So what better impetus would there be than that? With that, thank you very much for your time today. I hope you found it useful, and we look forward to seeing you up in the cloud. Have a great day.